A Neurotic Prediction, starring Gary Bigler and Dennis Bethelke.
Okay, Dennis, you want to start us out?
I'm Dennis. I'm in San Diego. And here are some of the topics that we're talking about today. I guess we should start with, let's start with a big one here. We're going to start with Fantastic Four is getting a revised origin story, according to a casting call that came out. And the revised origin story is going to be that Ben and Reed are, of course, childhood friends, and after the events transform the boys, they find themselves in power of bizarre new abilities, and or the two end up being owned by the government and used as weapons. But after they mature, two other people with powers come into the picture, and that's going to be Sue Storm, the Invisible Girl, and Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. That's the new origin story.
Hi, I'm Gary, and I'm in San Francisco. Gary Bigler, former owner and founder of the Comic Outpost. And we are also with, in New York City, we have a very special guest on a very special episode of Neurotics Productions' Sutro Watchtower, Mr. Harry Maldonado!
Hello, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and warm where you are, nice and cold where I am.
All better for your cold.
No, I don't miss California at all.
So what are your thoughts on this new origin story take here, Harry?
As long as Chris Evans has a cameo, I'm sold.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Honestly, I've never liked the Fantastic Four, so I don't know. It sounds stupid, but I never read the Ultimate title. Was that similar? Because I know they were younger in the Ultimate Universe.
But they were all still together in the Ultimates.
It was the Fantastic Four with cell phones. I mean, it was basically the same thing. They modernized the story. Remember, it wasn't just them going out into space. It was it was more of a radiation accident thing.
Yeah, it was like a microverse kind of thing where he was looking at different universes.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what happened.
Which, I don't mind if they play with the story a little bit, but continue, Harry. I'm sorry, didn't want to interrupt you there.
Oh, no, that's all my thoughts on it. I really, as long as they get a Sue Storm and Johnny Storm that are actually the same race, I think I can handle it.
Well, they could be, at this point, they could be adopted. You know, by Steven Spielberg.
Exactly.
Actually, Steven Spielberg and Kate Capshaw are Sue and Johnny's, adopted mom and dad. And Madonna. They share them.
Wait, didn't they do the adoptedness or adopted siblings or with the Roger Corman version?
They did.
Oh, I didn't even see the Roger
Corman
version.
Which to this day stands as the best Fantastic Four film put on film. Yeah, I'm doing good today, guys.
It was put on something, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw it on VHS. And Dr. Doom, they couldn't afford the voiceover for Dr. Doom, so it sounds like, you know, basically sounded like the Gimp. I'm going to get you, Reed Richards. And I'll throw in a clip right after this, just to prove my point there, you know, so I'm not bullshitting. This is, in our pre-cast meeting here, because we always have production meetings before the podcast.
Of course.
which usually is everybody, our special guest and Dennis talking shit about me while I'm putting the wires together like I know what the fuck I'm doing. And
so that's just Shane.
We spoke about, it's either Marvel letting Fox, you know, give them enough rope to hang themselves, or Marvel is turning into DC. Now, Dennis pointed out that this is a Fox, you know, production, and it is, but Marvel, you know, Kevin Feige is still the executive producer. Marvel gets to sign off on everything. I would equate it to, like, George Lucas. It's a license. So it's no different than like George Lucas signing off on the Star Wars comics at Dark Horse. They have a say. And why do you think Spider-Man got rebooted? That was 100% Disney's idea. Everything I've heard from Fantastic Four just sounds like he really wants to make it, because it's the writer and director of
Chronicle,
that's right. Yeah, and Josh Trank wants to make it more like that, which I loved Chronicle. That was great. But here, we're going to fall back on the same old fucking argument, and here I go beating the dead horse. But it just seems to me that the source material, which is sold for almost 50 years pretty consistently, why do they keep going away from that? I know the answer. I just ask it. It's a rhetorical question. Why do they, you know, Bob Kane doesn't know shit. We're not going to make Batman look like his costumes. What the fuck does Stan Lee and Jack Kirby know? They're fucking idiots. You know, I'm a 25-year-old just out of Video Symphony. I know my shit.
I'm with the same boat. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, I understand it's a, you know, the writer, director, whoever comes in who says, oh, well, I've got a better idea. Let's get a giant spider because I want a giant spider to be in my fucking movie. Oh, wait, we can't put it in this movie. Well, let's put it in this other movie, and let's ruin this movie instead. You know who you are out there. You fucking John Peters. Yes.
Giving hairdressers a bad name.
And, you know, honestly, that's what it is. It becomes this ego trip that they want to get their idea into the movie, no matter how bad it is. And, you know, it ends up fucking up a really good script, you know, a good concept to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind changes and tweaks and modernization. Yeah. That's fine. We all know how film works, and we've, God, Harry has been on many a podcast, and so have you, where we've talked about this forever. And remember when Avengers came out, and I think we had a podcast, and I remember mentioning this for Dark Knight, too, when they eventually get one right. We all, like, breathe the sigh of relief saying, wow, man, Hollywood finally gets it. They, you know, after Avengers came out, that should be an example to everybody how you fucking do it. And what did they do? Everybody emulated Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
Even Marvel. You know, it's like, did you notice that, and I'll put in Star Trek here, everything's so much tracking data now that they had to put Dark in the title. That Dark Knight Rises movie, why did it do well? Well, it had Dark in the title. Okay, so Star Trek, we're going to call whatever the fuck it was, and then we're going to call Thor Dark World. What was Star Trek again?
Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
I thought it was called Into Blandness.
Exactly. Well, no. And I'm sure they had a committee on, okay, are we sure we want to call it Into Darkness? Can we call it Into Dark? No. Okay, we'll put the Ness on. That's really edgy thinking there, putting the Ness on the end of Dark. You know, because that's, you know, it's going to do Dark Knight numbers. And you know what? And then all the posters looking the same, and I'll put an example on this on the video cast, of every poster looked like Inception for like 2 years that was part of a genre film. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That's what we're dealing with.
They had a standing character that became like posters.
Yeah, so basically our movies have turned into Transformers cartoons. They're just vehicles for product. You know, they're just big commercials now. And again, when we get one right, when we get a Joss Whedon out there, you know, making it, when it's successful, they start thinking it's not Joss Whedon, it's them.
Well, let's speak about Joss Whedon, since that's another story that we have here. Joss Whedon, he's been talking about Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. And he says what he's going to be using as his template is The Godfather 2. And the way he says it is, most people probably, you know, either have seen Avengers, the first one, or they're not going to see it, or they've seen Thor Dark World, or they haven't seen it, or they're going to see Captain America, you know, number 2, or they haven't seen it. You know, any kind of combination of that. So he wanted to make The Avengers 2 kind of a standalone movie the way Godfather 2 was. Godfather 2 was separate from Godfather 1, yet you didn't have to see the first one in order to get where the second movie was coming from, right?
Yeah.
It was all self-contained, yet it harkened back to that story as well. And that's what he's saying he wants Avengers 2 to be, is kind of like that.
And it sounds like he was told to say that. That's such a safe thing to say. That's like saying, you know, rape isn't good. I'm not going to do rape. You know, and yeah, of course you want to tell a story that nobody's seen before, because he's reacting to maybe Thor Dark World not doing that. I mean, it was just, that's a really weird and safe thing to say. You know what? You want to challenge me, Joss Whedon? I want you to say, I'm going to base Avengers 2 on the template of Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. Now, if you do that, then we're talking some serious talent, okay?
No, no. Better yet, if he had just done it for him, what was that movie? Bruce Leroy.
crap. Enter the Dragon Return of the Dragon. Something with the dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
Bruce Leroy, Enter the Dragon? That sounds like a porn.
Something like that. I can't remember what it was.
No, Black wasn't the title.
Okay. It wasn't. See, now I have to look it up because of that. You know,
it's something, but Dragon was in the title because I remember that. Wasn't one of like Prince's girls in that one too?
Yes. Yeah, Vanity. Vanity was in it. You are absolutely correct in that. The Last Dragon. Last Dragon is what it was called. Yes. So, yeah, you could do it in the vein of The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
You know.
Or Airplane 2, the sequel. You know, just remake the movie but put it in space. But they were already in space. So remake the movie and put it in Kentucky. I don't know. I want to talk to Harry here for a moment. Harry was at the Comic Outpost. We have issues where I was the founder and former owner. 10 years. I'm going to say that every time, by the way. 10 years, founder, former owner. I would say the greatest era it went through, as far as just cohesiveness, was with my manager, Harry. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay, so the reason Harry came on is because he came to us with a little puppy dog face and needed a fucking... No, I'm just kidding.
that was before.
We actually, you know, Logan...
I thought he had pictures that you didn't... Oh, never mind. I'll talk about that
he
later.
He was in them too. He was in the pictures. So I don't understand the blackmail part of that. It's like, dude, you were there taking the pictures. So I digress. Logan... we've already spoken on the first episode about his birth, and Logan was a surprise because we thought we had lost him. So we had to scramble last minute. Melissa had to, after being pregnant, you know, and going through a cesarean and a really tough pregnancy, went back to work after 3 weeks because she's a fucking warrior, that's why. And I needed to watch the kids, so I actually needed an employee, and no offense to Ray, who we love, God rest your soul, wherever you are. Oh, he's not dead. Sorry. Sorry, Ray. I actually saw you in front of the Dark Horse, and I love you, Ray. And I'm really sorry what happened to your comic books. It wasn't my fault. Harry came along, and it was like it was like meant to be. He was at the school bookstore, and he left that job because it was lame. And he needed a job that was run by a lame person, but wasn't lame. And that, see, I was there. I was there to meet his needs. And
actually, you saved me from shelving porn because I was working at the video store of Astro.
Oh, I saved you from that. Well, you know what?
When I became your Sunday guy.
I did.
Oh, come on, Harry. You Sunday like shelving porn.
No, because if he was stayed there, he would have learned to hate porn. And we know Harry loves porn. So I saved him from hating porn. And you're welcome for that.
It was all the fisting porn. That's what it was.
Oh, man. Fisting. Oh, those are the days. I'm sorry. So Harry came in, and Harry has a superpower. He must be fucking like an ESP or some shit. Because he can anticipate me, which... I found out later on, nobody on this earth can. I can't even anticipate me. I don't trust myself. It's like being me is like driving a car without a steering wheel. Okay, that's kind of what it's like. So Harry and Harry got what the Outpost was about, and he was the Outpost along with me, and the customers loved him. He knew how to treat people. And it was genuine and it was real. Isn't a lot of the bullshit that you see in, you know, most comic shops when they look at you as wallet with shoes. So, you know, I just want to publicly say here how much I loved him. We missed him. I'm really glad you went to New York. I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. And, you know, I wanted to say this on some kind of pulpit because I wasn't able to in the last days of the Outpost. It was just pure chaos, and so many people brought you up, Harry, and brought up so much love. And I just want to say, you know, thank you. That was like, the Outpost would not have lasted 10 years at all without you. And even though you weren't there, it was still, you know, your presence was felt. And, you know, maybe someday we can work together again. And I'll just make sure to not loan you out to my wife this time. Yeah.
Run away now, so Harry. Run. Run while you can.
See, Harry is obviously the toughest human being alive because he worked for me and my wife. And not that it's tough to work for me. Well, it's tough to anticipate me, but, like, I'm not mean. My wife...
I'm going to go cry in a corner now. I'll be right back.
So I just, you know, I just wanted to say that real quick. And it wasn't really quick, but love you, man. Thanks.
And now there's dead silence.
Oh, that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay. What he wrote on the Facebook okay, no, made me fucking blubber. So whatever. I got you back.
I know.
You know,
so on to more news. Yes. What else is the news here? We have, should we talk about, Marvel is shooting a new TV series in Vancouver.
Don't tell me it's Agent Carter.
Well, right now it is under the working production title, That Old Chestnut.
Is it Squirrel Girl?
Oh my God, now you're talking, if it's Squirrel Girl.
I would love if it was Squirrel. You know what, Harry, I've been talking about Squirrel Girl the last two podcasts, so...
I think she's become our...
So I brought her...
No, my love for her has no end.
Right here too, man. If I was next to you, I'd high-five you right now, but, you know...
I own every single appearance. I have her first appearance. I bought her first appearance on a whim.
Zombie Squirrel Girl is probably the awesomest character in the world.
Awesomest?
Awesomeness. It's a word. Trust me. Look it up.
I have a question on that. I dropped out of high school.
No, actually, they're saying that there's no mention of the plot details yet, but when I asked my source if this show was long rumored and talked about Agent Carter series, I was met with, mum's the word. Take that for what you will. This is what the article is saying, by the way.
Mum's the word.
Yeah.
Listen.
Mum.
Mum. Squirrel Girl is in my comic book 5, okay? So that means one of the... If a comic book character came to life, I'd have sex with it. And I'm very proud to say I would definitely have sex with Squirrel Girl. And, yeah. As she's drawn. With tail and everything. Maybe a little hairy for me, but I'll just pretend I'm in the 70s. Carry on.
So it looks like there's an Agent Carter series that is happening in Vancouver. So,
wow. And on that note, Jarvis the Butler, The Adventures of Jarvis the Butler. Not the computer, but we're just going to do Jarvis the Butler with no Avengers members. That'll be the follow-up series. Followed up by Aunt May before the Peter years.
Will this be golden oldie Aunt May? Will she have, like, you know, the armor?
No,
and all
this
stuff,
will be the trouble Aunt May, and they'll make her a hooker in the Bronx or something like that. The Hidden Years.
So I see.
Aunt May the Hidden Years by John Byrne.
Oh, God.
Wait, didn't they try that? Wasn't it that series where her and
Trouble,
where they're in summer camp?
Yes. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, Aunt May is living in the 70s, and she's really young and freaking, and it's basically,
wow.
Remember it looked like Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane, so it shows you what issue Peter has, because Peter's mom looked like Mary Jane, and Aunt May looked like Gwen Stacy. It was written by Mark Millar.
I'm glad I didn't see that. That probably would have scarred me.
And they had photo covers, and it actually sold really well in the store.
Trouble, that's what
Trouble.
It was called.
Yes.
It was called Trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear
me,
Oliver. Dennis is talking. Sorry.
Okay, now I got that. Trouble. I remember it coming out. I just remember I never picked it up, so.
Well, probably because it was good.
Oh, thank you.
So we have the good section, Dennis. Just
and
walked.
Fuck you
I put
too.
Good stuff, and then Dennis will just walk by it.
Dennis never went in that. He went to the snarky section.
Yeah.
Dennis
was a Chuck Austin fan. Dennis was like,
I
think
Chuck
Austin's
Austin
a really
fan.
Good writer. I'm just kidding. Wolverine Origins.
bastards. So on to some other news here as well. It's also S.H.I.E.L.D. related news. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Deathlok and Lorelei characters are supposed to be joining Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we've already seen Deathlok, of course. We know that it's J. August Richards. He actually is confirmed as being Deathlok now. I was right on that one.
Hey dude. That's awesome. And now I'm feeling like Joss Whedon is, like, if you're going to put my name on something, you know, I'm going to have more influence. And Harry, I want to know your opinion on this. Do you think by the end of season two, half the cast will be ex-cast members of Buffy and Angel and Firefly?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, you got to remember, How I Met Your Mother ends after the season. So Allison Hannigan's going to be freed up.
So is Neil Patrick Harris. More Maria Hill.
Yep, exactly.
You know what?
I'd be down for just like her and Victoria Hand. That's all I need, really.
Oh, yeah, and especially if they made out. But
Victoria Hand is a lesbian.
That's true.
Neil Patrick Harris, MPH, needs to be in a Marvel production.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, he would have been a great Scott Lang Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been perfect, yeah.
Yeah, I think he would have been... I love Paul Rudd, but MPH? Fuck yeah.
And so, also, Lorelei. So, remember we talked about Lady Sif was going to be... did we talk about Lady Sif? We hadn't talked about Lady Sif.
No.
Lady Sif is actually going to be making an appearance in a couple of episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. The reason for that is because they're going to be introducing the Lorelei character, which is the sister of the Enchantress.
There you go. So we're getting main characters, sisters, and brothers now. We got Dude, no, honestly, Deathlok is rad. I think that's brilliant. I got to find it. Bert DiVitri, the comedian, broke down exactly why S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just completely lame in like 30 seconds.
Oh, I can tell you why, actually, right now.
He's all, let's take the Avengers and just cut everything out and keep the boring shit, you know, which is like 2 minutes.
No, I'll tell you, there's two words. Jeff Loeb.
You know what? You're right. I forgot he was involved in that show.
Yeah, he's actually the head of Marvel TV Productions.
Yep.
And I forgot about that, too, until I saw him in that article about Deathlok and Lorelei that he was actually head of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why your TV shows suck so bad.
We did a TV party for the premiere episode, and his name came up, and everybody booed. Poor guy. He used to be so good. So, Harry, what do you think about Jeff Loeb? Do you think he's the reason it's fucking the show up?
It could be. Like, look what happened to Heroes. That had so much potential, and that just, like, fell.
And Smallville.
You also had the whole writer strike, but that one crashed down really hard.
It did. And the writer strike did hurt it. But
it didn't help that show at all. But S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been one of those shows, like, when I saw the first episode, we were at a bar, and it was with a bunch of Marvel fans, they were totally geeking out, and I was like, it was alright.
Yeah.
And I've just been kind of like, I'll watch them in pairs on Hulu, and I think it's finally gotten to a point where I like most of the characters, and every episode slowly gets a little bit better than the last one. But I feel like it's taking too long. It's like what happened with Dollhouse. It took too long to get, like, to where it is, but because it's not on Fox, they're not going to cancel it right away.
Yeah, they already picked it up for season two.
Yeah, and I feel like it could be one of those things where it's like, I feel like where the writing and all the character development, I want them past where they are. So I think once season two hit the ground running, would probably be a much better show.
I actually, this last episode that we had where they went to the Academy,
I loved it.
That was probably the best episode they had because it actually felt like a Marvel Universe thing at that point. And I was like, okay, well, why couldn't they have done this before where you have, you know, different factions of S.H.I.E.L.D.? You have your operations factions, you have your tech factions, and, you know, you have a little bit of rivalry within the S.H.I.E.L.D. complex itself to make it feel more like a real, you know, a corporation, if you will, or, you know, government agency than what it was. And I don't know. That just kind of really disappointed me that they could have been doing this from the beginning. And they didn't use that opportunity.
They still have it. You know, I mean, I think more so, I think Harry's right, and with, especially with Joss Whedon first seasons. And we all know this, with the exception of Firefly. He does not get off the ground running. I mean, his characters, you've got to get used to Joss Whedon's style, which is not made for prime time because people don't understand it because it's actually for smart people. I'm sorry, but his humor is purely based on he's an incredibly smart man and he can't dumb himself down. Right? And, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to say this politically correct, a lot of people who don't like Buffy and Angel don't get it.
It's Shakespearean. He gets that from Shakespeare, and we saw that with Much Ado About Nothing, the movie that he did.
Harry!
Yes?
I'm going to ask you some questions. Harry, what did you think about some stuff? Okay.
If you were a tree, and what kind of tree would you be and why?
I'd be dead. Okay, shoot. Rapid fire. Let's go.
If you were a tree, would you be the Whomping Willow?
Yes, I would be.
Okay.
I took the quiz. I was Severus Snape.
So how long have you been gone now? You've been gone...
It will be 2 years in April.
Oh my god, it seems like forever.
2 years, I know.
Alright, so, Avengers. What did you think of the Avengers?
I loved it.
What did you love? Did you just love everything and the Joss-ness of it?
I love the Joss-ness of it. I liked, he made Black Widow a lot more interesting than she was in Iron Man 2.
And we knew he would do that.
Yeah. I thought Ruffalo did a great job as Hulk.
Yes.
And the banter between, now I'm blank on names, Tony Stark and Steve Rogers. Their bromance was so cute. What else I like about it? Loki. Because, you know, it's Loki. It was just well-crafted. It was like a fun superhero movie we don't get that. So we get brooding characters, and this was like, it wasn't really dark, it was just fun.
Oh my god, I've rubbed off on you. That's good! I feel the same way about it, because it was thrilling! You're right. I know how you kind of felt, but you were kind of with me when it came to the Batman movies. Did you see Dark Knight Rises?
I did.
What'd you think?
Anne Hathaway was the best part of that movie.
Yes, she was. Period. End of story. She was great.
I figured out what's her face was going to be Talia Ghul. It was like, yeah, I figured that out. That had to happen. I don't know. With his movie, with the Nolan verse Batman movies, I've enjoyed each one when I saw it the first time in the theater. But if I saw it a second time, I got bored watching it.
Yeah.
There would be parts that kept me like going, but for the most part, I'm like, I'm bored watching this movie.
Because he's boring.
And that's the thing. So it's like, they weren't entertaining enough for me to go through a second time. But I did, Catwoman, Anne Hathaway, she was perfect in the role. I did like Tom Hardy's Bane. And
Batman! Yeah. It was funny.
It was the funniest
thing I've seen in a comic book movie in years.
You can die. I want to interject something since we were talking about Loki. You were talking about Loki just before there.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston is going to be with Tilda Swinton in a Jim Jarmusch film where they play vampires called Only Lovers Left Alive. There is a trailer.
Sold.
Is it old?
No,
he said it's sold. Yeah,
oh, you're sold.
I'm
okay.
Sold.
Sold. I'm in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vampires. Hiddleston. Who? He would have been a great doctor. He would have been a great doctor.
And I guess he's naked for a good majority of the movie too.
Double sold.
There you go.
I'll go anyway. Is there any girls naked in it?
Probably Tilda Swinton.
Okay. Sold. I don't know who she is, but I mean, she's naked. I'll be there. Harry, is there anything you would like to say to the Outpostians who missed you so much out there? Not to put you on the spot.
I love you all. I wish you were all my brothers and sisters I never had to drown.
I'll keep that in. Oh, and I wanted to Sorry, breaking up the news here, but we have a special guest, so we're kind of interviewing too, Dennis, you understand? So you can ask some questions too. But I want to ask you, Harry, like your experience at Midtown Comics. Did it change your view of the industry to actually be at a real store that sold comics?
I answered phones for a website.
Your phone sex skills came into work here, is what you're saying, right?
My interactions, I swear, no. Working there just made me realize just how stupid people are.
It's just
how impatient people are. I actually told a woman, I got a lot of laughs from my coworkers because they knew I didn't put up with anyone's shit. She was yelling at me over an order not coming, and I just told her, I'm sorry, your husband does not have patience, has not learned to have patience. And I was known for saying, they would ask me, Harry, are we going to get a sir today? Because when I'd be on the phone with someone and they started to irritate me, I would just go, sir, 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 sir,
it's
you got to calm down now.
Yeah.
My inner black woman just would scream out, damn. No, I am not fooling you. I'm not trying to steal your money. It made me hate people a lot. And I think a lot of it was, I think I cared more than everyone else I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I put in more, energy in caring. And it just wasn't worth it to me. So when I was able to slam the door and say, I'm never coming back, it was so good. So good and felt so nice. And I do not miss working there at all.
Wow. Don't pull any punches, Harry. So and it felt pretty corporate then.
It was very corporate. Very corporate. Well, because they have three stores in New York in three separate locations, and they have two boutiques that sell toys and apparel in FBO Sports and Toys R Us.
Okay.
The big one in Times Square.
Huh.
So it's and it still has a well-functioned website. So it there was a lot going on, and I got to see the back end of a bigger store of how that runs, but it was very much it's a store.
Was it Tower?
And it just made, and it makes you also, because I'm seeing a lot more on the back end, just also realizing just the industry is just there's just so much they're producing and so much of it is just not good.
That was going to be my next question. From that perspective, and this is what I'm really curious about, is where do you think the industry is going?
Working there, I was just kind of seeing just how saturated books are, how they're producing so much stuff. Things are just going Avengers 25 came out. And had 15 fucking covers.
Yep.
I was seriously going really? Really? I was oh, fuck this shit. And just how there's, and what they're producing isn't good. I was mentioning to Dennis beforehand, someone posted on Tumblr the other day, all the 52 first issue, the covers, mm-hmm. and had reddened out every book that's been canceled or will be canceled by April because the solicitations are out.
Yep.
And of the 52 original first issues, when April ends, there will only be 24 of them will have been canceled. 28 are still current running that will have issue 31 in May. But they've, up to that point, within the last year and a half or the last 2 years, they have canceled. Will have canceled 24 of their new 52 titles.
Then what did we say? Fuck it. What did we say when we podcasted about this? We said it can't be for 2 years, man. The thing's got to be the long haul. And they have no more bag. There's no bag of tricks, man. That was it.
Yep.
I mean, that was fucking it. So the point I'm getting to, Harry, and it's very interesting mm-hmm. that you say
and
that.
And I've seen now, it's well, it's just also too, it's the stuff that I started reading with, I kept with some. When writers left, I left the books or just or just got tired of it. But it was also, you're just kind of seeing what DC was doing in the back end. None of their characters were married, or if they were married, they could end up going through messy divorces, husbands, wife killed off. And it's just they didn't want any of their characters to be happy in a way. And it just felt like, I don't know. It's just I didn't quite know where they were taking their universe. And it's every time they kept talking about how, always new and fresh, and they would I would see it where the writers who were taking the concept of no history were getting a lot of flack for, you know, what they were changing, and then writers who didn't change anything were being praised because, oh, it's so great, it's brilliant, and all. They didn't do anything. They kept the story going.
No, exactly. And, you know, what's going on at DC now is it's being run by a bunch of guys who are I'm going to bring up a dirty little problem, which I think is a major problem in this industry. And we all know, everybody knows my fucking opinion. Okay, my opinion on the industry is it's a self-loathing industry that's really selfish, and it's a bunch of islands, it's not a united front, and the biggest problem in this industry is the comic book retailer. It is us. It is what I used to be. We are, because we were the advocates. The ball was in our court. No matter how you want to bitch or spit about Diamond being a fucking monopoly or what Marvel and DC are writing and stuff, the beauty of it is the ball was in our court. There was good stuff out there that we could have pumped up a little better, but you know what? We took the easy bucks from Marvel and DC. But the perception, you know, I'm going to just go by what we like to say in sports and stuff is the eye test. What do your eyes tell you about the comic book industry? I don't know. Dennis, what do your eyes tell you about the comic book industry?
It's kind of like the book industry, like, you know, the bookstores, that 90% of it is crap. And sometimes even more of it is, you know, than that is crap. And what little is out there is, you know, just trying to be optioned into a movie. People are using comics now as a springboard to get their movie made. Steve Niles. Steve Niles, great guy. And I met him, really nice guy, but he started off as a Hollywood scriptwriter and a novelist. And he couldn't get anything of his sold, so he went into comics. This is back in, you know, the late 90s. And, of course, they started selling because, you know, he had some pretty good ideas. And now, you know, well, his movies, of course, tanked 30 Days a Night and, you know, the sequel to it, of course.
Yep.
Yes, Dark Days, yes. But he still has a couple of good ideas out there, and he's gone back to comics and... Like right now, I'm reading Ash, Army of Darkness. He's rebooted that, and he had a really good comeback of how to deal with Army of Darkness after the third movie there, and it's pretty good. That's what I'm reading right now. It's on issue number 3. 4 is coming out fairly soon. So that's what I'm looking at comic book stores right now. Is probably in about another 10 years, we're not going to see as many as we see now. And it's going to be a very kind of a wasteland out there, kind of like what you see with Barnes and Nobles.
Like, I can't decide. I used to fall back on they'll only be an urban thing, but I think they'll only be a suburban thing.
Yeah.
And I mean strong suburbs like San Diego County. You know, you won't see comic stores in cities much longer because, I mean,
too it's expensive, the rent.
I walked. Harry, I want to ask you what you think, and then I'll. Continue. We'll wrap it up. So, Harry, the comic industry right now. What's your opinion of? What's your overall opinion of? What's your eye test?
People are still going. Are still flocking in to the stores, mm-hmm. but I think it's just a matter of what people are reading. I think a lot of people are just more cautious of what they're picking up. Because I know for myself, one thing, you know, doing the move was, you know, I already was like. I'm going to trim down my list because you remember.
Yes.
I read a lot. I didn't collect a lot. Cause
X-Men. X-Men. X-Force. X-Men.
Yes, if it has an X in it, I will still buy it. That's like,
X-Men.
You know.
X-Men.
X-Org.
Off topic. Do you either of you guys read Uncanny Avengers?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Nope, I don't.
Are you caught up on it?
Mostly.
Did you get to the Massacre issue yet?
No. Talk to me about it though. I know
so,
partially about
Uncanny
it.
Avengers, they not just killed 3 cast members in one issue. One of them being my girl.
No.
Girl. Rogue. Okay. They killed my girl. My girl's gone, guys.
So
I can't handle it. I can't live.
This absolutely confirms. Oh, go on, Harry.
No, so Rogue bit it, Scarlet Witch bit it, and Wonder Man bit it.
So Marvel is headed towards a hard reboot. This is a fact now.
I'm expecting, because of the way this tale's going, I'm expected this, things will get retconned within the story, where they'll be back, because the fact that they just brought Wanda back just to write her off again is stupid. And, you know how I feel about my Rogue. But I feel, okay, going back to topic, I just had to vent for a second.
We discussed this before. We know that everything that happens in the X universe doesn't actually deal with the real Marvel universe.
Shut up. Shut up. There are Avenger characters in this book. They're connected.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things where people are going in, I think people are streamlining what they're reading. Like, they're trying to trim out the fat of, oh, these books are just bad. Like, there are some books I read, I'm like, well, they're not great, but I read them because they're just, like, pop. And it's just, like, they're just a fun read. I don't take them seriously. And I'm like, whatever happens in them happens. And I'm like, okay, if you get canceled, you get canceled. That's how I feel. But then there are just those books where I'm like, well, nope, I'm continuing on. I've been following you this long. Comics are like a domestic violence relationship. You know they're no good for you. And they keep promising they'll never do it again, but then it is 2 months later, bam, there they slapped you again in the face.
Yep.
Analogy.
I'm glad you...
Comics equal domestic violence.
As a Latino gay man, you can make that analogy. Okay. Well.
So next week, Bronze Tiger is back. So Michael Jai White's back as Bronze Tiger.
Zoolander. It sounds like his next look, the Bronze Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, DC is... They're pulling out a lot of B characters for this, but it's actually been pretty good. I mean, this week's episode, we actually got to see Deathstroke in full-on Deathstroke, modern armor, which was kick-ass. I mean, he killed four guys in the blink of an eye, and it was really kind of cool. Honestly, they're doing something right with this show. Yeah, what do you think, Harry?
Harry...
I hate the show. No, actually. I like the show. It got its legs like halfway through. I think halfway through the first season, it was like, oh, I like where this is going. Oh, this is going really well. Ooh. And this season, I like that they've done up until the, Barry Allen, where it hasn't really been like superpowers, where they've used things to indicate powers, like with Black Canary having that little box that emulated her canary cry.
Yeah.
Those were all things, and I do like everything, how they've changed things, and everyone I love. I love John Barrowman as Merlin.
Hell yeah.
I think he's amazing. I love Felicity. She's my favorite character, because you can't have Oracle.
Plus, she's a 49er fan, by the way, too, so
that means a lot to me. And Colt Hayes, I have a massive crush on, so you know how it works. Every gay man does. But I love, like, that they're... that he's finally stepping in to train to be Speedy, Red Arrow, Arsenal, whatever the hell you want to call him.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going with that. If he's going to be Arsenal or if he's
going to... He's probably going to be Arsenal, since they don't really call him Green Arrow. He's just the Arrow.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they can't have Red Arrow.
He'll be more Arsenal, especially because of how they're tying him into, like, with the drug thing that fucked his... That messed up his whole body chemistry. So he's, faster. Like, healer kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. They're going to go with the Arsenal look.
I figure they'll do more Arsenal with him. And then I actually really liked Grant Gustin, who played Barry Allen. And I'm excited for a Flash series. He made me like The Flash.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I got chills when I saw the way that little origin story was just awesome. They did a really good job of that right there. Probably one of the best, 5 minutes on TV that I'd seen in a while in a comic show.
And I thought it was awesome too. I think, I had a moment too, but I think it was more like what we talked about last week of the Ritz cracker when you're starving in the desert for 9 days,
Yeah.
And the Ritz cracker is better than a filet mignon. I think that's what that Flash origin was. I mean, it was really great, and because that's the best we've gotten out of DC in a long time. Yeah, I'm bagging on DC. Come at ya. But
No, Arrow's fucking awesome. And you know what? Yeah, sometimes there's a cheesy costume. And there's spray paint in the face. Thank God they took care of the grease paint on the face. And there's the whole thing, and I'm never going to let this go. It's called Green Arrow. Call the fucking show Green Arrow. Green fucking Arrow. Okay, Green Arrow. Green Eggs and Ham, Green fucking Arrow. Okay, they don't call it Eggs and Ham. You know, when they did the CBS special, they called it Green Eggs and Ham, motherfuckers. So, sorry. Well, that goes back to the source material. And, you know, it feels like I'm taking crazy pills. And maybe I'm, oh, Gary, you're too into it. You're 44. You should think about feeding your son and not Green Arrow and stuff like, well, fuck you guys, okay? sorry. My son's got legs and feet. He can go feed for himself, man. But there's no green on the arrow. Sorry. I'm going to let it go. I got nothing else.
I'm telling you, man, we just got to sell you a little lawn chair with a picture of you cut out on there with your fist raised in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those would sell.
Yeah. If I was naked.
Well, then and they
20 pounds lighter. A few more sit-ups.
I'm sure there's a daddy market we can get you in. Gary, don't worry.
And the Eagle Tavern, I can have my own calendar.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Steve has an in for you.
Oh God! Yeah, I'm. Where through the back door? I'm sure he's got the in. Yes. I'm sorry. It was out there. I had to take it. I love you, Steve.
He saw an opening. He had to take it.
Oh my God!
It was all lubed up and ready for our.
Yeah. You know.
Come on, Harry, you gotta have one more joke in that one. Come on, just go for it.
I'm too tired to think of a joke.
No more jokes about lubation and stuff. You know, hey, we're coming at the end. We live on a long route about the retail industry, but that's what's gonna happen because we're spontaneous here at the Sutro Watchtower, a new erotic production. True. Okay? Spontaneity.
Shall we do a confessional?
Yes. I got to think of one, so you go first.
We got to think of one. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's tell Harry. We just confessed something that's really embarrassing about ourselves at the end of the... what did we confess the first time?
I confessed that I watch Game of Thrones only for the boobies.
Okay.
I don't like the show, but I just watch
it for the boobies. And you confessed you didn't like the Beatles, and I confessed that I like the Black Eyed Peas, and...
No, I said the Beatles were overrated.
Okay, that's fine. Dude, I'm not taking it personally. I'm not a Beatles. Yeah. Oh, and I've got a good one. You know what? I'll start.
Okay.
I'll start. Okay, I got a confession. And it's an embarrassing moment or whatever, or something you actually want to tell people, but you haven't been able because you're a little embarrassed, but now you can, you know, guise it under the fact of confession, and you can actually tell the truth, and it make, you know, makes the heart and soul lighter. But you don't have either of those, my dead gay son, so don't worry about it. My name's Gary. I'm an alcoholic. Sorry, wrong meeting. my confession is one time I was at DiPietro Todd and I was getting my hair bleached and they took my glasses off and I went to go pee and I untied my little smock and I couldn't see anything and I peed all over myself. And then fucking on the floor, missed the fucking toilet, and this is like on my third date with Melissa, and I just fucking made it rain in the fucking bathroom, dude. So I'm in there, and the door's locked, and people are fucking knocking, and I've got these little tissues that I'm fucking cleaning up on my fucking pee. And then my smock has got pee all over it, so I had to put it on, walk back out, and then stick it in, and I take my shirt off real quick, and put another one on. And oh my God. And then like whoever found that fucking smock, I am so sorry. So yeah, I fucking, little golden showers in DiPietro Todd. I'm so sorry. It sucks that I have to wear glasses. True fucking story.
Gary, I'm sure you're not the first person to pee in that bathroom.
Probably not. I'm sure people have gotten peed on in that bathroom.
They've had some wild parties.
Yes, they have.
Oh, Harry, can you top that one?
Wait, I have to think about something.
Okay, go, Dennis.
Oh, shit. Fuck, I don't know if I can top that one.
You don't have to top it, okay?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think now. I'm trying to think about, do I go in that vein? Do I go, I'm trying to think of something now, and I don't know what the hell. My mind's blank.
I mean, we might want to stop at getting caught masturbating, but, you know. But if you want to go there, it's fine. We all have.
No. None of that. God. I don't know. I'm blanking, man.
Okay, well, we'll just leave it in my confession then. We'll just leave me hanging out there. Like, we're not doing confessions anymore, Gary.
Oh, okay. If we're going to talk about confessions then.
Yeah.
This is something that most people find out when I've had a lot to drink, and I mean a lot to drink.
I've been there.
But I've done some tappy-tappy foot things underneath the stalls in some of the SFC bathrooms.
Repeat that. You broke up a little bit on the internet.
What was that?
Repeat that. The internet broke up right when you said it.
Okay, so... Okay. So, my confession,
yes,
is I've done some tappy tappies in the bathrooms in and around SF State.
Okay, every time you say tappy tap, it breaks up. Do it again. I'm
it
serious.
Doesn't want me to tell anybody anything. Okay, so again, third time's a charm. So my confession. Similar to Gary's, because it takes place in a bathroom, is the SF State Humanities Building was known for its colorful array of people.
Uh-huh.
And if you did a little tappy-tappy, you'd have some funny-funny.
Oh!
And I would do some tappy-tappy.
Exactly. Dennis has no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe one really cute boy, all the rest, you don't want them touching you.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to keep this bathroom related.
Yes.
I'll keep it bathroom related. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. I was catering once, and I had a cold. I had, you know, sneezing, coughing, all that kind of stuff. Had to go to the bathroom, and of course the sneeze turned into a shark. Everyone knows that. Oh.
Oh my god! What'd you do with the undies?
So I had to get rid of the underwear. The underwear was gone at that point. And
yeah.
Going commando, working the rest of the shift.
You better not shark.
You know? Man. Yeah, exactly. Trying to make sure I didn't fucking sneeze or cough for the entire rest of the shift that I was going through.
Oh my god.
And this week's episode is brought to you by piss, shit, and cum.
And poop.
Depends.
Shit and poop, yeah. A very special episode of Blossom brought to you by excrement. Yeah, on that note, that was a good note to end on, guys, actually. You know, because everybody wants to hear our fucking poop humor on a Friday night. You know, I promised we were going to do this live. I'm such a liar. Well, I'll just put it up real quick. I'll put an unedited version up real quick. Dennis, take us out.
I'll end with a, how about I'll end with a one last news item.
Is okay.
Pixar and Star Wars.
Ugh.
Pixar may be doing a animated Star Wars.
Let me guess. It's the Clone Wars.
We don't know yet. If they do it like the 70s Marvel stuff, I would be happy with that. Just continuing like the old 70s Marvel comics, that'd be awesome.
I really want like a third fucking version of the Clone Wars. You know what? God, I hope this Abrams Star Wars works out for them because they are putting a lot of money into something that, you know what? It seems like there's a lot of people out there, but the people who are still into Star Wars, and again, I'm going to offend some people. Sorry. But maybe you need to be brought to, you know what? Hey, I eat humble pie every day. Okay, I'm married. So it's about time you get some. Jedi School, Star Wars ain't cool no more, man. And I mean, like, and I guess that's kind of good. But the one thing about Star Wars, about the nerdiness of Star Wars, is Star Wars was cool. It was. It was the one nerdy thing that was cool. It was the one nerdy thing that a surfer in Encinitas would go, yeah, I saw Star Wars. And it became uncool. So, you know, that was our Beatles. It'd be like the Beatles, like, staying together and sucking. You know?
I mean Beatlemania?
Or getting back together and sucking. You know, Beatlemania, that wasn't them. You know? Don't put that
No, on. I know, but I'm saying
No, totally. The prequels were Beatlemania. Very good analogy. So, I don't know. And Harry, do you care about Star Wars yet, Harry?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I like my Ewoks. That's it.
He likes his furries.
Nug nug. You know what? Next time we have you on, I want you to sing the entire Nug Nug song. Okay.
Oh, please. I can recite Grease 2 by heart. I don't know that.
Okay, we'll do Grease 2.
Okay, that I can do.
So, Harry, would you come back to our podcast and guest with us some other time?
I guess.
You guess? Oh, my God.
I'm back.
He asked twice to come on. Not that he's ever asked me to be on his. But let's talk about Harry's.
To be honest, the last time we did a podcast was like Halloween. Okay. That was like almost 6 months ago.
Hey, but I want to pump your podcast. So let's give a plug. Your podcast. Go.
We are CreatureCast. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr. It's horror goodness.
Ah.
With intellectual people and me.
Was that horror goodness or horror goodness?
Whichever floats your boat.
Okay. Exactly.
The W is silent and present or not there.
Hey, it's like Nerdrotic. Both apply. Okay? Both apply. Exactly. We'll have Joe on sometime. You know, I could talk to Joe about doing the remote thing. That'd probably be easier for you guys, and you guys could actually get some podcasts out, because it was quite good.
Yeah.
So, you don't mention me enough, or ever, but that's okay. We can talk about that later.
And I never get mentioned at all.
I don't need to.
Dennis, I mention you every... You know what? You know how much I invoke you, especially with oppositis? There's this guy named Dennis. He likes the fucking worst shit. And it's true, right, Harry? I bring him up all the time. But I love him. He's one of my best friends.
Oh, come on. I don't love shit. It just comes out every now and then.
When you sneeze. All right.
I missed that.
Oh, I said if you love shit, that would make you a scat queen.
That's true. Yeah.
Harry, anything you want to say in parting?
This was fun. I miss hearing your guys' voices.
I don't call people enough. Oh my God.
You know, the 3-hour time difference really does it for me.
Yeah. But I'll have my shit. Well, no, it'll still take some puttering time, but we'll do it again. We'll do it again real soon. Thank you, Harry, for being on. It was our honor and privilege.
Definitely.
Dennis, what do you got to say?
Peace out, and I don't know. I can't say anything else, you know, because it just sounds too fucking nerdy coming from me. It sounds like white boy saying some shit. So I'm just going to say, see ya, have a good night, cheerio.
I love you, David. Have an American evening, and go fuck yourself, San Diego.
You enjoyed this podcast, and don't do drugs at all.